Manchester City and Bayern made it six teams through to the round of 16, but Inter's dreams are all but over.
Real Madrid have doubled their lead here, and what an impact this is from Rodrigo, and it's Inter 0, Real Madrid 2.
So Madrid boost their own hopes of progressing, as do an impressive Borussia Mönchengladbach side in the same section.
Oscar Wendt takes a really good ball. It's curled all the way into the net. It's Borussia Mönchengladbach 4, Shakhtar Donetsk 0.
Meanwhile, there was an almighty shock at Anfield as Atalanta inflicted a rare defeat on the 2019 champions Liverpool.
Dangerous ball towards Hatterball, gets his head to it, Gosens is there, and Atalanta double their lead. They're 2 up at Anfield.
Elsewhere, Marseille and Midtjylland's hopes of a place in the last 16 were ended on a day where we sadly lost one of football's greatest ever players. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. We're going to be looking back on another dramatic night of Match Day 4 action shortly with commentators Adam Summerton and Phil Blacker and the European football journalist Kevin Hatchard. But we have to start with the news, sadly, that we lost Diego Maradona at the age of 60. One of the greatest football players, if not the greatest ever, a true artist on the pitch who died at the age of 60 back in his native Argentina. Diego Maradona helped his side win the 1986 FIFA World Cup, and in European football was a true legend at Barcelona and then at Napoli, where he won the UEFA Cup and two Scudettos for the club, and is still revered in that city where, as I speak, the Stadio San Paolo is being lit up all night in memory of one of that city's greatest footballing sons. I'll come to you first, Kevin. The tributes have been flooding in, including from Lionel Messi, who simply says, a very sad day for Argentines and for football. He leaves us, but does not leave because Diego is eternal. And Pele says, I've lost a dear friend and the world has lost a legend. One day, I hope we will play soccer together in the sky. We are talking, when it comes to Diego Maradona, about one of the truly most remarkable footballers ever.
Yeah, an inspiration, Chris, and not just a sporting icon, but a cultural icon as well. Beyond sport, people would know who Maradona was. And it wasn't just because of his dizzying skill, it was about his ability to inspire. And you talk about those Napoli fans, and he was a banner for those fans to rally around, and he became very much the focal point of that team, and they achieved historic things with him. And that's why he was seen as not just the saviour of Napoli, but to some extent beyond that, the saviour of Naples and that particular community. And I think for me, the thing that really shone through was his enthusiasm for the game, his love of the game. He just wanted a football at his feet. That's all he ever wanted. And I think that's how I will remember him, that incredible, infectious enthusiasm that he always had for football.
El Pibe de Oro, known in Argentina, the Golden Boy. L'Equipe's headline on Thursday simply reads, God is dead. And if I can just give you one anecdote from Jorge Valdano, who won the World Cup in the 80s alongside Maradona. He simply said, beyond everything else, no football ever had a better experience than when it was on Diego Maradona's left foot. And I think we can all agree with that. Diego Maradona sadly passing away at the age of 60. We have to look back now on eight massive games in the Champions League on Wednesday evening, joined by Adam Summerton and Phil Blacker. It is tradition, gents, to have three-word match reports. Adam, you were watching Inter against Real Madrid at San Siro. What would you go for?
Well, bearing in mind all the sort of talk before the game, I'd say curse is over, because, of course, so much was made of the fact that Real Madrid had not beaten Inter or AC Milan at this stadium. Well, they have now.
Yeah, and pretty comfortably. We'll get onto that in a moment. Phil Blacker, what a result at Anfield. What's your... well, sum this one up in three words, if you can.
I'm going to go with dramatic role reversal, just to emphasise that the contrast between match days three and four, where these two sides are involved, an incredible response from Atalanta.
It certainly was. So these are Wednesday's results in Group A. Bayern 3, Salzburg 1, enough for Bayern to go through. Atletico 0, Lokomotiv 0. In Group B, as Adam just mentioned, Real Madrid 2-0 winners away at Inter, and it finished Borussia Mönchengladbach 4, Shakhtar 0. In Group C, Olympiacos 0, Manchester City 1, enough for City to go through. Marseille 0, Porto 2. And in Group D, you heard it from Phil, Liverpool 0, Atalanta 2, and Ajax 3, Midtjylland 1. Let's start our look back with arguably the match of the night, maybe the week, Inter Milan against Real Madrid at the San Siro.
With the ball to Ødegaard, lovely ball into the box, and a chance to shoot, and there's a penalty's been given. Barella brought down Nacho, penalty Real Madrid. Hazard with his hands on his hips, wearing all white, up against Handanovic. Hazard scores! Placed it with the outside of his right boot, into the corner, and it's Inter nil, Real Madrid 1. They've lost possession in a dangerous area here, Real Madrid, as Vidal goes down. Well, Anthony Taylor says no, it's a shake of the head. Inter appealing for a penalty, it will be getting checked by the VAR. Inter's protests go on, they're surrounding the referee, Anthony Taylor here. Vidal's been booked, and now he's getting right in the face of the referee, Anthony Taylor, and he's shown him a second yellow here. He sent him off. Real Madrid have doubled their lead here. And what an impact this is from Rodrigo. And it's Inter nil, Real Madrid 2.
Very, very impressive from the 13-time winners who arrived with question marks themselves, Adam Summerton. Lots of players out, yet they, particularly in that opening quarter of the game, almost blew Inter away. They were excellent, Real Madrid.
Yeah, too good, too confident, too composed, too much authority for Inter, who were the second best of the two sides even before the red card. It was, I have to say, Madrid surprised me tonight with the level of performance. They'd only won three of their last eight games in all competitions, as you've alluded to, missing some significant key players, including their captain, and they put in a performance that, just you wouldn't have expected that of the team in the circumstances.
Could have been 3-0 in the first 17 minutes because we had the goal, which comes from great play from Hazard in the first place, knocking the ball past three players effectively to Ødegaard, who I thought was terrific for an hour. Given the fact that he hasn't played at this level, it was a sensational performance. He's not turned out for Real Madrid at this level before, and he played the ball through for Nacho, and Barella brought him down. But then Lucas Vazquez hits the post after, again, a very simple move. Real Madrid produced a performance of devastating simplicity. It wasn't incredible spellbinding skills. It wasn't amazing slaloming, weaving runs. It was just nice, beautifully weighted passes, good movement, good work without the ball. And as I say, it could have been 3-0 in the first 17 minutes. Ferland Mendy should have scored. He squared it when he was in a great position. And then Arturo Vidal gets sent off for a frankly ridiculous reaction. He felt he should have had a penalty. He was booked by Anthony Taylor, the referee, for his protests. And then instead of walking away, he actually then walks towards the referee and is aggressive, and he had to go. And from that moment on, largely Real Madrid were comfortable.
Real Madrid lost their opening game against Shakhtar, were 2-0 down on match day two away to Borussia Mönchengladbach, scored two late goals to pick up their first point. And now they have 7 points because of back-to-back wins against Inter. Where do the Nerazzurri go from here, Adam Summerton? Antonio Conte, kind of frustrated figure again. There's been this Champions League curse, really, against his name. As a coach, of course, he was brilliant as a player, but as a coach, one run to the last eight ever. And it's not impossible, mathematically, for them to go through still, but it would take something truly extraordinary, and it looks like being another Champions League season which hasn't gone according to plan.
Yeah, it'd be three seasons running that Inter have gone out at the group stage. In terms of Conte, every coach, I suppose, around the world, whatever the level, whatever the club, they would want a president, owners that give them exactly what they want. That's kind of the holy grail for any coach, isn't it? Very few get that. Conte kind of has, and that's his big problem right now in terms of the PR side of things, is that their supporters are looking at Conte, looking at what happened after last season's Europa League final, the press conference that followed that, the additions that then came, where the board seemed to say, okay, Antonio, we believe in you, we believe in this project, we're going to give you exactly what you want. They've signed players, some of them of a certain age, they're players, it's a squad for this season, it's now or never, as it said in one of the headlines in the Italian press today. And they've not delivered again. And it's been a really, really difficult start to the season. And I think there'll be a lot of soul searching today in that Inter dressing room.
I think there will. That was the late game in Group B. The earlier game was a terrific win, again, for Borussia Mönchengladbach, who have never reached the last 16 in the Champions League era. They reached the final of the competition back in the 70s. They blew Shakhtar away, having won 6-0 in Kiev 3 weeks ago. They won 4-0 in Germany. A penalty from Lars Stindl put them ahead. And then goals after that from Elvedi, an overhead kick from Brill Embolo, and then a late fourth from Oscar Wendt wrapped up a very, very comfortable win. And they are top of the section with 8 points. Real Madrid with 7 just behind them. Then comes Shakhtar on 4 points. Inter, bottom of the pile, still to win a game on 2 points. On match day 5, it is Shakhtar against Real Madrid and Borussia Mönchengladbach host Inter. There is a chance that Madrid and Gladbach could go through with a match to spare. OK, next to Group D and to Anfield, where Liverpool hosted last season's beaten quarter-finalists Atalanta.
The most sustained spell of pressure we've seen in this second half coming from Atalanta. Good ball in by Papu Gomez, and it's going to be touched in for the opening goal of the game. Ilicic has got it, and it's Atalanta who lead at Anfield. Dangerous ball towards Hatterbull, gets his head to it, Gosens is there, and Atalanta double their lead. They're two up at Anfield.
Another night to remember for Atalanta, who love making headlines in the UEFA Champions League. They became the first side in a 90-minute match to win at Anfield since the 26th of September 2018. Ended a very, very long unbeaten run over 90 minutes. Of course, Atletico did win at Anfield last season, but that took extra time. We can hear now from a disappointed Reds boss, Jurgen Klopp.
It's a deserved defeat. We have to admit that, and it's no problem to admit that. Group is still open. It was always clear that it will be open, and so I have no problem with that. Tough games to come, and yeah, we have to shake a little bit and then to go again.
Well, you heard Phil Blacker's commentary there before Jurgen Klopp. He joins us now. Rested a few players, Jurgen Klopp. Will he be regretting that decision?
Easy to say, I guess, with hindsight. The reasons for the changes were understandable given the schedule that lay, like many other sides, are on and the injury issues that they've had. Three of the five changes he made from match day three were enforced, actually, by injuries. There were three teenagers in the team, but Nico and Reece Williams and Curtis Jones have all been excellent when afforded opportunities this season. They had Mo Salah back in the starting lineup from the weekend as well. So you wouldn't look at the Liverpool lineup and say it was necessarily a weakened team. Far from it. It was switched up from the weekend, switched up from match day three, but that hasn't necessarily stopped them this season. This is a Liverpool side that won 5-0 in Bergamo on match day three, that beat Leicester City by 3-0 on Sunday. They were starting to build a little bit of momentum, and then all of a sudden they turn in a performance such as this, for which Atalanta, of course, deserve huge credit. But from Liverpool's point of view, it was really, really flat at times. They had plenty of possession, or enough possession, to be able to create rather more than they managed, because to go through the entirety of the 90 minutes without a single shot on target shows you just how comfortable really this was at times for Atalanta, certainly once they'd got those two goals in the space of 4 minutes. Liverpool made four substitutions in one hit from Jurgen Klopp. He was planning to do that at 0-0, actually, and the first goal went in, still made those changes, but the second goal followed shortly afterwards, and there wasn't enough of a response from Liverpool. Liverpool, they tend to do it the hard way, though, don't they? It's, I think the last 3 years in the Champions League, they've gone into match day six still needing at least a point to clinch qualification. This year it was meant to be different. They hadn't put a foot wrong in the competition so far. Three straight wins, hadn't conceded a goal. Their fate's still very much in their own hands. They'll get another chance next week here against Ajax as well. But, yeah, they just weren't able to maintain the level of performance that we've seen from them in recent weeks either side of the international break. But for that, you have to give Atalanta the lion's share of the credit.
Yeah, massive result from them, and we can hear from one of their heroes now, their midfielder Robin Gosens.
For us as a team, for the whole club, was an incredible night. That you win here in such a great and historical place and pitch is something that we will never forget, of course. We learned a lot from the game in Bergamo. We analyzed it very well, and I was grateful that all the things that we wanted to do in the pitch came out in a good way. So I'm happy. I'm so happy, of course.
There's a picture of Josip Iličić and Papu Gomez arm in arm, little and large at Anfield, Phil Blacker. And Gosens was excellent, as well as those two. We probably shouldn't be surprised, given how often we laud praise on Gianpiero Gasperini and his side, but this seems like a really big victory away for them at one of the best clubs in European football.
It's a statement success, no doubt about it. You think of all the great Italian teams in the Champions League era, they're only the second to ever come to Anfield and win after Fiorentina back in 2009. And they've been so comprehensively outplayed on match day three. Gasperini said after that game, we need to improve tactically and structurally. We'll do something different at Anfield. Well, they were certainly living up to his words, weren't they? They certainly did that. Rarely seen a side in the Champions League who learned lessons quite as effectively as Atalanta. You touched on it earlier last season when they lost the first three games. They had 1 point at this stage of the competition after four games and still managed to qualify from their group. This year, they lose 5-0, their biggest ever defeat in European competition just 3 weeks ago. At home to Liverpool, and then they come to Anfield and thoroughly deserve this victory. It was a comprehensive win. It really was. That the scoreline doesn't flatter them. It could have been more, if anything. If there was to be a third goal in the game late in the match, it looked like it would go the way of Atalanta. They were absolutely exceptional throughout and deserve all the credit that is coming their way.
Too right. Fantastic result. Elsewhere in Group D, Liverpool, as Phil mentioned, could have gone through. Now they're in a real battle to finish in the top two positions because Ajax beat Midtjylland by 3-1. Remember the name Ryan Gravenberg with his first Champions League goal, becoming the third youngest goal scorer in European football for Ajax, which is a pretty big achievement given all the stars that have come through that famed academy. Lovely curling effort 2 minutes into the second half. Fantastic strike into the top corner. Nusser Mazraoui then made it 2-0. A couple of minutes later, David Neres completed the scoring for Ajax. Our Mabil got one back for Midtjylland. But this section is very interesting indeed. Liverpool are still the side that lead the way in Group D. They have 9 points. Behind them are Ajax and Atalanta on 7 points. Midtjylland on 0 points. I'll just go ahead to match day six, when Ajax play Atalanta. That is going to be very, very interesting, Kevin Hatchard.
That's going to be a sensational game, and it always felt as though that was going to be the way, actually. It felt as though there wasn't going to be much to choose between those sides. One thing about Atalanta, just quickly, Chris, got to bear in mind, we're so used to lauding them and so used to praising them. They're having a rough patch in Serie A right now. They drew 0-0 at Spezia at the weekend. They've only won 1 out of 5. And Gianpiero Gasperini said afterwards, look, our season hasn't been awful, but we know we're not hitting the heights that we usually do, but we've had new players settling in and it is tough at the moment. He said people are going on about squad rotation, suggesting that's the reason, but I would say we just don't have a set 11. That's the way we work. And he was telling people not to panic, and it looks as though he was right.
There's a surprise. Always trust Gasperini. Okay, keep your eyes peeled on UEFA.com early next week because it's almost time to pick your team of the year for 2020. 50-man shortlist will be revealed very soon. 5 goalkeepers, 15 defenders, 15 midfielders and 15 forwards. But it's up to you to select a final 11. If you do, you'll have the chance to win some great prizes. So head over to UEFA.com early next week. Let's continue our look back on Wednesday night's games. Group A, Bayern, the defending champions, through after a 3-1 win against Salzburg, and they equaled Atletico Madrid's winning run of 16 straight matches in European competition. They can take the record on their own in their next match against who? Atletico Madrid next week.
Lovely the way these things work.
Lovely the way these things work out. And Bayern, they did enough, but once again, Salzburg ran them close, and we'll probably look back at that scoreline and think, how did we lose 3-1?
Well, at 0-0, Dominik Szoboszlai, who we've rightly been praising time and time again, not just for his performances for Salzburg in this competition, but his performances for Hungary at international level as well, helping them qualify for the European Championships, had a brilliant chance at 0-0. And he was through one-on-one with the goalkeeper and lifted over the top. If he's 30, 35 metres out, he probably puts it in the top corner.
Yeah, he does.
That's how he rolls. But a bit closer in, he couldn't do it. But what this underlines is the fact that Bayern, and we know this from the back end of last season's UEFA Champions League, they give you a chance. They play that high line. They don't keep many clean sheets at the moment under Hansi Flick. You look at that in the Bundesliga. Mm. They do concede goals. They nearly lost to Werder Bremen at the weekend. If it wasn't for Manuel Neuer being Manuel Neuer, then they could well have lost to Werder Bremen. So, but again, we know they have that incredible firepower, and that's what got them through.
Yeah, really good effort from Salzburg, though, who, as I mentioned before, second season in the Champions League, really. They continue to play well, but then continue to not quite have enough when it comes to points on the board. Elsewhere in Group A, Atletico 0, Lokomotiv Moskva 0. I think this is one of the results of the evening. Fantastic defensive display led by Guilherme, their goalkeeper for the Russian side. Koke had a goal disallowed when he was just offside, but they battled and battled away. João Felix missed a very good early chance. Angel Correa swept one just wide. But this result, behind Bayern, who are through with four wins from four, this result makes it very interesting. Atletico with 5 points, then Lokomotiv with 3 points, and then Salzburg with 1 point. The Russian side have given themselves an opportunity with two straight draws against an Atletico team who at the weekend beat Barcelona.
Well, you look at the way that Lokomotiv struggled last season. They seem to have learnt a few lessons. I must admit, I was one of the people who looked at them and thought, well, they've lost arguably their best player in Alexei Miranchuk, who made the move to Atalanta. And I thought, where are the goals going to come from? I thought they were excellent against Bayern. You listen to Bayern's players, they'll tell you that was one of the hardest games they've had this season, that game in Moscow. And to have got the results they've got against Atletico, with the excellent performances from Guilherme, who you're right to point out, the goalkeeper, but they've looked really organised as well, and they've kept themselves alive in this group.
And they face Salzburg on match day 4, and Atletico play against Bayern. I just wonder what the table is going to look like behind the defending champions at the end of Tuesday evening. Okay, to Group C now, the final section, where Manchester City progressed again for the 8th year in a row to the last 16. A 1-0 win was enough in Piraeus. Their match winner was Phil Foden, and we can hear from him now.
This result today means that we qualify for the next round, which is really important for this club. But yeah, fair play to them. They came out fighting in the second half and made it hard for us. So we did well to dig in at the end and get the result. We haven't had the best results in the league, but it's good to see that we're doing the right things in the Champions League and getting the right results, which is really important.
He was excellent, Phil Foden. Another night for him on the European stage, Kevin Hatchard.
Yeah, he's been superb. We saw how well he played for England recently. And you can see why Pep Guardiola has been so excited about him for so long now. From the moment he saw him play at youth level, he stood up and went, who is that guy?
He's such a Pep Guardiola player.
Yeah.
But which is why it's taken a little bit longer than I think people thought it would for Phil Foden to really break into the team.
But I think as well, it's a complex system to learn. I think it's a complex team to play in. And I think he's done ever so well. And City have been very serene in this group so far.
They certainly have. The other match in this section, so City 3 finished. Marseille 0, Porto 2. Both ended up with 10 men, but as Edu Sanusi's first half tap-in and Sergio Oliveira's second half penalty, enough for Porto, who are in a really strong position now to go through alongside Manchester City in that section. And Marseille set an unwanted record now, 13 defeats in a row in the competition, stretching back to 2020. Okay, man of the match time from our two featured games, and Kevin Hatchard, you can pick somebody from everywhere else. So Adam Summerton watching Inter against Real Madrid.
Yeah, mine would be Eden Hazard. Really impressed with his influence, his control of the game, his energy. He's not quite at his best again yet, but he's not far off.
Phil Blacker.
So many contenders for Atalanta, but I'll give it to Robin Gosens, not just for his goal, but the attacking option that he provided his side down the left. Showed how badly he was missed on match day three. Wonderful return for him.
Certainly did. Kevin, from one of the other six games?
The Locomotive goalkeeper, Guilherme.
He was absolutely outstanding. Terrific performance from him and from the Russian side. What an evening it was on Wednesday as the Champions League, with minute silences, paid tribute to one of the greatest footballers ever, Diego Maradona, who sadly passed away. That's about all we have time for this evening. We'll be back for match day five on Tuesday, though, from 6:30 p.m. CET. Live commentary of Shakhtar Donetsk against Real Madrid before the defending champions Bayern travel to Atletico. So make sure you join us for that. It should be a fantastic show. Don't forget to download our podcast. But for now, from myself, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.